Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, May 8, 2016, 2 Timothy.
As we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your magnificent grace. And we thank you that you have magnified your word over all of your name, and therefore the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble now to worship you through the study of your word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We continue in our special on pleasing, the pleasing special. And the 25th point, God is pleased with Operation Grace, the plan of salvation which he designed, the hope and the only hope for mankind. God is pleased with Operation Grace, the cross. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. And of course, it's awesome. Operation Grace is awesome. It is the Father's plan. It's a demonstration of the Father's impersonal love for all of His creation, for mankind. Following the fall of man, spiritual death entered the world, and every member of the human race comes into the world physically alive and spiritually dead. And that's a major problem. Spiritual death means we have no relationship with God. Spiritual death means we have no fellowship with God. Spiritual death means that it's impossible for us to correct the situation. But God, in His infinite and matchless grace and impersonal love, designed a plan, Operation Grace. That plan is centered on the cross. That cross is where Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. That cross is Operation Grace. That cross where Jesus Christ was crucified is Operation Grace. That cross where the Father gathered up the sins of the whole world and poured them out on His Son, and then judged the world's sins in Christ. That is Operation Grace. That substitutionary spiritual death, where Jesus Christ took our place, was our substitute, paid the penalty for our sins once and for all, so that He could offer a magnificent gift, eternal life, to anyone who simply believes in Him. But all because of the redemption, reconciliation, propitiation, expiation that was accomplished on the cross. And he presents it in a very powerful way, the Apostle Paul, at verse 18. For the message of the cross. What is the message when you give the gospel? The cross. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The message of the cross. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know Him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. What was preached? Verse 18, the message of the cross. What was preached? Jesus Christ and Him crucified. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Gentiles look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. In verse 18, the message is the message of the cross. In verse 23, we preach Christ crucified. And so the message of the cross, verse 18, Christ crucified is what we preach, verse 23. God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached. Christ crucified, the cross, Operation Grace, to save those who believe. So God is pleased with Operation Grace, the cross, the plan of salvation. 26. The winner believer is pleased to offer the sacrifice of grace giving as a part of his royal priesthood. The winner believer is pleased to offer the sacrifice of grace giving as a part of his royal priesthood. Romans 15, verses 26 and 27. Romans 15, verse 26. Romans 15, 26. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the destitute among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it. And indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. And so the winner believer is pleased to offer the sacrifice of grace giving as a part of his royal priesthood, Romans 15, 26 and 27. Point 27. A consistent and faithful prayer life pleases God, our Savior. God, our Savior, is the Lord Jesus Christ. A consistent and faithful prayer life pleases God, our Savior. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Turn over to 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. First of all, therefore, I continually exhort that entreaties, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. Verse 2. On behalf of rulers in government, that is those with highest authority, and on behalf of all the ones who are in any place of authority, for the purpose that we may live an undisturbed and tranquil life with the greatest spiritual life and integrity. Verse 3. This is virtue, and this is pleasing in the thinking of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, the one, God our Savior, Jesus Christ, who desires first that all mankind receive salvation, and secondly, for those who believe in Christ to come to the epinosis doctrine of the truth. Now, this is a very interesting passage on prayer and gives some very important dynamics to prayer as it relates to your nation that you live in. We live in the United States of America, currently the client nation to God. And these prayers are focused on prayers for those in authority in our government. And one of the great privileges of the believer, and this is the believer who is living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, as you advance to spiritual maturity and put on virtue, love, and grace orientation and genuine humility, you pray for the leaders of your nation day after day after day that they might make decisions to allow the gospel of Jesus Christ to run freely throughout our country without persecution. That the gospel of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed in effective evangelism all over America without persecution. And that local churches and pastors have the freedom to communicate the absolute truth of the Word of God to the royal family of God without persecution. And this is a tremendous dynamic of prayer for the believers living the spiritual life. So a couple of things. One, a consistent and faithful prayer life of the winner believer manifests virtue to God. A consistent and faithful prayer life of the winner believer manifests virtue to God. That's verse 3. This is virtue, and this is pleasing in the opinion of God our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2. The Greek word in verse 3, translated virtue, is kalos. K-A-L-O-S. Kalos. And kalos means honorable, noble, virtuous, character, integrity. That's the word kalos. 3. The winner believer has virtue love. The winner believer has personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ. Four, a consistent and faithful prayer life is a function of the royal priesthood of the winner believer. A consistent and faithful prayer life is a function of the royal priesthood of the winner believer. Five, in the thinking of God our Savior, Jesus Christ, this is virtue and this pleases Him. In the thinking of God our Savior, Jesus Christ, this is virtue and this pleases Him. Six, in this passage, the virtue of prayer is emphasized in relationship to authority and establishment. In this passage, the virtue of prayer is emphasized in relationship to authority and establishment. Seven, the importance of prayer in the field of authority and establishment is for the perpetuation of evangelism and Bible teaching. The importance of prayer in the field of authority and establishment is for the perpetuation of evangelism and Bible teaching. Evangelism for the unbelievers, an opportunity for them to hear the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Bible teaching for the royal family, that they can advance spiritually, advance to spiritual maturity, put on virtue, love, grace orientation, genuine humility, and execute God's plan, will, and purpose for their life. Eight, this is a very important area of prayer that is widely neglected today. Nine, this prayer pleases God our Savior, Jesus Christ, who one, wants all men to be saved. That's God's desire. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, a change of thinking about Jesus Christ, and place their faith in Him. God, that's God's wish. That's God's desire for the whole human race. So God's wish or desire is that all men might be saved. And secondly, and that all believers, every member of the royal family of God, might come to the epinosis knowledge of the truth. And the epinosis is the completed knowledge, full knowledge. This is the word of God that you not only hear when you're sitting here, but you believe. And there's a big difference between sitting here and hearing it and rejecting it and believing it. You sit here and reject it, you go nowhere. It is only when you believe God's word that it enters into the heart as epinosis doctrine and can be applied to your life. 28. You want to compete? You want to compete? Go somewhere else. It pleases God when you manifest virtue love to widows. It pleases God when you manifest virtue love to widows. This is something that in the teaching of the Scriptures I came across a long time ago. It was through verse by verse, exegetical Bible teaching. And it had a tremendous impact because we have several widows in our church. And they were true widows. They qualified as true widows. And so we established a role for these true widows. And I made sure that they were provided for in whatever needs that they had. Many times it's financial needs. And I made sure that they had the financial needs. Sometimes it was just thoughtfulness in giving them a ride to the store, taking them to the store. Sometimes it was just being thoughtful and spending time with them. So we would take them out to dinner. And I would, every single month, I would take all of our widows. I called them my girls. They were my girls, and I took them out to dinner every month. Deb and I, it was a time we look forward to every single month, to take these widows out to dinner, and then we took them to a movie. So we saw a movie and had dinner. And it was great, but the widows kept getting up in age, and pretty soon they started telling me, "We can't hear what's going on in the movie anyway. So let's cut out the movie. Okay, dinner. We'll just stick with dinner. Yeah, dinner. But we couldn't go at the normal time for dinner because background noises, they couldn't hear anything there either. So we would go when nobody else was there. So we had dinner at 3 in the afternoon. Dinner at 4. We had a booth. We were all to ourselves, and they could hear because it was quiet. And they loved dinner. So we would go out to I took them to a nice place. No, not McDonald's. Took them to a nice place again, like I said. To a nice place. We had dinner. The movies stopped. We had them over a few times to the house and showed movies at the house. It was the same problem with the hearing. And so we've cut out all the movies, and whether at the house or at a movie theater. But the dinners kept on. And then the Lord started calling the widows home. Beautiful ladies. Some of them are home, waiting in heaven. They're face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. They're fantastic. Some have moved to other locations, but still get the MP3s from here. They get the MP3s faithfully. And Barb Carlson up in Washington now, her favorite part of the whole day is listening to the MP3s. And she calls, and we call her, and every time she cries on the phone. How much she misses Upland Bible Church. How much she misses all of you. How much she misses being here and getting face-to-face Bible teaching. We're down now to one widow that is qualified to be a widow, Jean Peacock. Jean just celebrated her 93rd birthday, and her eyesight has been going. Her hearing has been going. She used to be in here listening to class, but it was getting too hard for her to hear. So she sits now in the deacon's office back here, and the deacon came up with a great idea: headphones that hook up with my microphone. She can hear everything with those headphones on back there. She absolutely loves it. And she just can't say enough. Every time, "Oh, Pastor, oh, Pastor, I can hear everything you say." I go, "Everything?" Well, that might not be too good. Well, what a sweetheart. These are the heroes. See, some of you don't realize it, but you're all blessed by association with them. You're blessed by association with them. You talk about winner believers, they're with me 100%. They're with me. They pray for me. They pray for this ministry. They spend time all day in prayer, listening to, going over and over and over the Bible lessons and praying. And you're blessed. You might even sometime say hi to Jean. She can't hear. We'll get real close and go, "Hi, Jean!" And she might say, "What?" But boy, with those headphones, she can hear everything. What is that? Virtue love. Because you're thinking about somebody who can't do anything for you. They're destitute. They don't have any money. You see, you go out with people who can, they go out, you go out and they buy dinner and you buy dinner and you do this and you do that. You scratch my back and I'll scratch yours. And you, this is the kind of way you do things. But how about the people who can't do anything for you? When's the last time you thought about anybody that can't do a thing for you? That's destitute. That's pretty much in one little place that they live in. And except for coming here to Bible class, that's their whole world right there in that little tiny place they live. It doesn't bother them. In that little tiny world, Gene is studying Bible doctrine, studying Bible doctrine, studying Bible doctrine, praying. She has the most phenomenal humility and respect for authority, for God, His Word, and for me as a pastor. 100%. Not 50. 100%. And you know what? When you demonstrate virtue to a widow, God is pleased. When you demonstrate virtue to an orphan, God is pleased. That pleases the Lord because that's virtue love. That demonstrates that you love God. That demonstrates you have impersonal love for all. That demonstrates your occupation for Jesus Christ. First Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy chapter 5. First Timothy 5, verse 3. Keep on honoring widows who are really widows. And he gives qualifications here for the local church to assume that responsibility. There are some qualifications. He gives those qualifications. Keep on honoring widows who are really widows. And then verse 4. But every widow who has children or grandchildren, first of all, let these children and or grandchildren learn to keep on living the spiritual life. That is, to keep on developing and manifesting virtue love for their own family. And let these children or grandchildren learn to keep on providing monetary support for the interest and benefit of their parents or grandparents. For this keeps on being pleasing in the thinking of God. God is pleased with this. So one, this is the magnificent principle of virtue love toward the destitute. Toward widows. In the Old Testament, there was always combined widows and orphans. This is the magnificent principle when the widow has family, that is living, the principle of families taking care of families. The family is a divine institution established by the Lord for the whole human race, for believer and unbeliever alike. And therefore, the unbeliever can and does understand this principle as a part of the establishment truth of God's Word that He has for the whole human race. Two, a very important part of living the spiritual life and developing virtue love is caring for the destitute, caring for family members who are widowed and destitute. Three, the principle of the Word of God is that relatives should take care of their relatives. Relatives should take care of their relatives. Four, this passage teaches us that true widows who are destitute and in need of help, who have children and grandchildren, then the family has the obligation of taking care of them. This passage teaches us that true widows who are destitute and in need of help, who have children and grandchildren, then the family has the obligation of taking care of them. Five, for the believer, this is a mandate for you to live the spiritual life and develop virtue love. So you can fulfill your obligations and responsibilities to your parents and grandparents when they need help. For the believer, this is a mandate for you to live the spiritual life and develop virtue love so that you can fulfill your obligations and responsibilities to your parents and grandparents when they need help. Six, your virtue love function will manifest honor, respect, care for, and financial support of your parents and grandparents who need help. Your virtue love function will manifest honor, respect, care for, and financial support of your parents and grandparents who need help. Seven, the believer who lives the spiritual life and develops virtue love willingly assumes all of his obligations and responsibilities to someone in his family who is destitute and needs help. The believer who lives the spiritual life and develops virtue love willingly assumes all of his obligations and responsibilities to someone in his family who is destitute and needs help. 8, God is pleased with children and grandchildren who support that widow when necessary. God is pleased with the local church that assumes that responsibility to the true widows in their congregation. Nine, on the other hand, it is both evil and sinful on the part of the believer to neglect destitute members of his own family or for a local church. It is both evil and sinful to neglect the destitute members, the true widows in their congregation. First Timothy 5 verse 8 says, but whoever does not provide for his own relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the body of faith, Bible doctrine, and is more evil than an unbeliever. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. If there's anyone who is here this morning without Christ, without hope, without eternal life, we want to make one issue very clear for you. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was thinking about you. Every sin you've ever committed, past, present, or future, they were all gathered up by God the Father. They were poured out on Jesus Christ. And they were judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, your sins are no longer the issue. The issue is not a sin question. It's a son question. What do you think of Jesus Christ? For the one who simply believes in him, there is the gift of eternal life. For the ones who reject him, eternal condemnation. And right where you're sitting right now, with your heads bowed and with your eyes closed, you have the freedom and the privacy in your own soul to be telling God the Father that you are believing in Jesus Christ. And at that very instant, you pass from death to life, from condemnation to justification. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the sons of God, even to those who believe in him. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, Father, we thank you, sir, for the privilege of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.